This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Leviticus chapter 8, and we're dealing with the consecration of the priest. And we get to the point where there's several things that are going on as you're looking at this, and I want you to take note of. And I think they're important understandings to have so that you can carry it with you as you think about the anointing of the consecration of God for His kingdom or for service. And the first thing I want you to see is in verse 13, it says, "Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them. He girded them with sashes and put some on them, as the Lord had commanded Moses." Now, there's two things you need to get out of this that are for sure. First of all, the anointing of God that a parent has, the anointing of God that a parent has, is available to their children. God, this priesthood is going to be a lineal priesthood. It's going to go down the lines of the family, each, as we call it, per stirpes. It's going to be per the stripes. Each family, as they go down, is going to have access to being a priest or being in the priesthood and have the power and the position and the purpose that God has for their forefathers, their parents before them. I want you to notice the power, the purpose, and position that they have from their parents. It is available to them. Now, that does not mean that they just automatically get it. It's not an inheritance that they just automatically pass down. It's available for them to walk in themselves. And some of the things that's really cool about God is that if you choose to walk in what God is giving you, you get the anointing that is passed down from your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. You get the benefit of that. You get the benefit of the spiritual power, the spiritual walk, the things that God has done for them. Now, that doesn't mean that you're just automatically be just like them, because you're not. You're different, and you're going to glorify God in every different way. But you get the ability to have access to the things that God has done for them. First of all, just because you grew up with them, it's just passed down as a part of who you were with them. Second of all, God wants us to have godly children. He wants us to raise our children in the way they should go. But when they're older, they won't depart from it. They're going to come back and walk in what you raised them to do. And God is going to have a special blessing for those. Now, I know some of you say, my parents weren't that way. Remember, also, God loves the first fruit also. And so we don't want to overlook that. God always wants to do a new work in a new family. He wants to reach and make. And so it's important to understand that you have the anointing that is passed down from your forefathers. But if you don't have any of that anointing, you are a special blessing for the kingdom of God, because you are the first fruits. You're the one that is going to make a way and open a way for your family. And especially in the New Testament, you see that. You see whole families coming to Christ. And it's a neat thing to have that happen. And so God's in the business of doing all those things. And the work of God is unique, and it's wonderful, and it's powerful. And so Aaron's sons had the ability to walk in this. Now, did they walk in it? The answer is no, they didn't. But you can see that they don't have all the things their father did. They're not dressed exactly like their father. He put tunics on them. They had a tunic. He put a sash on them, and he also put a hat on them. But they don't have the crown. They don't have the ephod. They don't have the full accoutrements, the full ensemble, as I guess would be said. They don't have the full regalia of the outfit, but they have an outfit that is very similar to their father's, that has a similarity to it, and they have the potential to walk into their father's priesthood. Now, they don't do it, and we're going to see that they don't, but they have the possibility that's made available to you. And for some of you who have not wept in what God has done in your families in the past, and you're now realizing that, maybe you have stopped trying to walk in it, because I can promise you this, if you're walking in it, God will clothe you with it. He will put you in that position. He'll begin to use those things that you learned and wrecked in when you were younger, and he will make it powerful for you. Now, the second thing that I want you to see happens is that for the priest, the whole priestly class, Aaron and his sons, they're going to be offerings made for all of them. And all those offerings are, rather, the offerings we've gone over. And that's a couple of things that need to be understood about that. First of all, if you're a leader or you're in charge or you're someone who is a pastor in a church, you don't get left out. You have to walk through the same things that the parishioners do. You're not any better. You're not any more anointed than anyone else. You don't have any more extra Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as extra Holy Spirit. You either got him or you don't have him. You don't have any extra anything. You do have extra responsibilities, but when you're talking about and thinking through this, these sacrifices that are being made, you're going to see that Aaron is and his sons have sacrifices for everything that everybody else is going to have to deal with. They're going to have to make sacrifice for themselves in this process. And when you're thinking about those who are ahead of you or what you think may be over you in the church as far as pastors and leaders, they have greater responsibility and just as much liability for their sins. And so God has to pay for their sins just like he has to pay for anyone else's. And he does that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it says, and they brought a bull for the sin offering. That's a picture of the flesh. They have to put to death the flesh. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering. So notice it's Aaron and his sons. All of them had to do it. Moses killed it, just like it was supposed to be done. It says, and then he took the blood and put some of the horns on the altar and around the fingers and purified the altar. Pulled the blood at the base of the altar. What's he doing? He's going through the process of sanctification that we'll see spelled out in the chapters before, and he's doing it for Aaron and his sons. Moses is the intermediary. Remember, Moses in this picture is a picture of Christ. So even though these are priests and these are people who are going to be in charge of doing all the priestly ministries, they've got to have the same atonement as anyone else. Verse 18 says, then he brought the rams and as the burnt offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram. So now we're going to have the burnt offering of the ram. And it says, and Moses killed it, and he sprinkled the blood all around the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces. And Moses burned the head and the pieces of the fat. And he washed the entrails. He did a full burnt offering of the first ram, and that would be for the sons. You've got the bull for the father and being passed down to the children. Now these are special offerings being made for the sons and his lineage, meaning that God's got a plan for them, and God's got a plan for your children. And you need to put your children in a place where they can know what that plan is. You need to be in a position where your children are learning and growing and coming to know what God's plan is for them. And that means they need to be in the presence of God, in the anointing of God. They need to be in the place where the Holy Spirit's moving. They need to be in a location where they hear the word of God, where they sense the Holy Spirit in his presence during the worship. They need to be in a place where they are called to walk with God, to walk in his understanding, his learning. It is important that you do that for your children. It's important that oftentimes when we're young and our children are young, we're tired. And let me tell you, raising children is tiring. I know. And it is difficult and it's not easy. And so a lot of times on Sunday, you just want to lay in bed and take the day off. Let me tell you something. Those days that you take off are some of the most important days for your children and their lives. And they need to be there. And they need to be experiencing what you're experiencing. And they need to be hearing what you're hearing. And oftentimes people say, kids don't really get this and kids don't understand that. I can tell you this, if they're born again, the Holy Spirit is ministering to their soul and to their new human spirit when they're in the church, just like he is to you. And insights and understandings and powerful standing stones as far as remembrances of what God has done and God taught them happens in childhood. I am an an example of that. I have great memories. Some of the greatest memories of my life, as far as understandings of God, didn't come after I was called to the ministry and became a pastor. Many of them came when I was a young person or a teenager. Many of them are steadfast in my heart, not when I was a grown adult, not when I had my own children, not when I went through all the troubles and struggles of raising a family. It came when I was young. And those things helped me be who I needed to be when I was older. And so having your children in the church, having your children in a place where, now, it's just not in the church. It needs to be a place where God's moving. It needs to be a place where it's evident that God's at work in changing lives around you, that God's work is making a difference in the lives of the people that you see, and that it's not just, you're not just practicing church, you're actually living church out and living in its fullness. And if that happens, then your children will experience this anointing. They'll experience these sacrifices that God is providing for them so that they can have his best. And so we brought in the second lamb, and they did the same thing. They sprinkled the lamb, they sprinkled the bread around the altar, and they laid their hands on it. And I want you to notice with this offering, this is an offering in preparation of faith. And he takes the blood and puts it on their right ear. He puts it on their thumb, and he puts it on their big toe. And it seems rudimentary to me as I've thought through it and studied it, but it's not. It's really true. The ears are for hearing, obviously. The hands are for doing, and the feet are for walking. And that's just you find that in Psalms and Proverbs. And Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the path. I'm the way in. And so when he prepares you for ministry, prepares you to do what God's called you to do, you hear it, you begin to act upon it. And then when you learn to act upon it, you work it out in your life. And notice that Aaron is receiving that consecration and anointing, and his sons are also at the same time. They're hearing it. They're getting a chance to pawn it, getting a chance to actually use their faith, and then they can wrap it out throughout the rest of their lives. And so if you want your children, and let me tell you something, a lot of people realize, oh no, I didn't raise my children to walk with God. Now they're raising my grandchildren. And there oftentimes is a lot of consternation that goes with that. And I would say that doesn't mean that just because you messed up that your grandchildren are lost. But let me say this, for those of you who don't have grandchildren, but do have children, you need to take that into account as you're thinking about how you're raising your children. And for those of you who maybe didn't raise your children in the church, maybe didn't teach them to walk with God when they were younger, you need to reach down into that next generation and give them an opportunity to hear from God and to know God and to experience you being atoned for in worship, and you being opened up and changed and seeing that life change take place in your life so that they can walk in it in their lives. And let me tell you, I have a lot of young people that I deal with in the legal system, and their grandparents are the ones who are giving them the instruction, the biblical instruction. And they are your children also, even though they're your grandchildren. They're your children in the sense that they're in the lineage, in your lineage, and you can pass it on down to them also. And you ought to. And when you do that, you have fellowship with God, and that's what we see with the wave offering and the bread. Notice they're taking the bread and the cakes, and they're being anointed by the oil. That's a picture of the word of God, the revelation of God being given to them. And they call it a wave offering. They put it in the air, and what they're saying is, I hear you. I know what you're saying. And I hear your purposes and your will, God. And you know, all these are experiences that are powerful for people, powerful for families, powerful for what God wants for each and every child that is a part of a family that knows him. And so when you're thinking about your life and when you're going through the things that God has for you, you need to take into account not just yourself, but what is going on with those who you are responsible over. It says Moses took the anointing oil and some of the blood, verse 30. And he sprinkled it on the altar, and then he sprinkled it on their garments. This is a picture of the power of God and the atonement of our sin on their actual clothing, the covering of sin. He placed that on there. That's a fulfillment of God's perfect plan to bring about redemption in their lives. And then they took the bird of flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they were eating there with the bread in its basket. And finally, here in the last few verses of this chapter, you see a fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. There's communion that goes on. There's relationship. There's power there. They sit down and they eat some of the ram, the sacrifice of the ram. They eat of the bread, and they have fellowship with God. This is the ultimate end of all things. This is why God wants us to go through these processes, so that we can have fellowship with Him, and so that they would have a purpose. And their purpose was to be at the tabernacle, to work at the tabernacle, to be there in the presence of God, and to serve the people in the presence of God. And they did it. They didn't do it well, and these sons are not going to be perfect in it, but they did it. And you need to see that. See this end of this chapter as an opportunity for you to get your family involved in what God's doing. So many times, there's so many things the enemy has out there. We've turned athletics into year-long events, and you're practicing on Saturday, and you're practicing on Wednesday night, playing games on Sunday, and those things didn't used to be. We've got every reason in the world not to be in the presence of God and not to have our children in the presence of God. And let me say this, just as important as school is, just as important as athletics is, more importantly, is God. And your children having a foundation in a relationship with God and knowing what it is to be in His presence and knowing what it is to hear His voice is as important a skill and as important an understanding that you can give your children. It's as important as anything else in their lives. It's as important as anything else in their lives, because when you're not there and they spend 17, 18 years with you all the time, and then that is 95% of the time they're going to spend with you for the rest of their lives. And when they leave that house and go off to college or go get a job and move out and get married, when that happens, your time with them is over, in essence. It's not over in that you're going to see them, talk to them the whole nine yards, but that time is over. You've spent 95% of the time you're going to spend with your children in those first 18 years, and then it's over. You need to make sure that you give them the best during that time period, and the very best has always been God. I pray that you'll consider that and you'll think about it, and that it'll be a part of how you live your life. And it'll be a part of how you raise your children and your grandchildren.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.